Now, the longer I live, and the more I study the Word of God and try to find out something about God, something about His way and something about His purpose, and the more I try to find the will of God for myself and for this church, and the more I try to preach the gospel, the more I feel the need to pray, and the more I feel the need for prayer, and the more I covet the prayers of those who know God, and the more I am thankful when someone whom I believe to be in communion with God tells me that he's praying for me. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Now, prayer is a part of the believer's armor. Prayer is a very vital part of the believer's armor. In Ephesians chapter 6, in Ephesians the 6th chapter, verse 11, Paul said, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery, subtlety of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, or blood and flesh, but we wrestle against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." That's our battle, against spiritual wickedness in high places. "Wherefore, because of this conflict, this battle in the spiritual realm, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth." The loins are this area here. It's a girdle. The truth of Christ is the girdle wrapped around with the Word of God, the truth of God. "And having on the breastplate of righteousness," this area, not my works, but His blessed obedience. "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth of God, having on the breastplate of Christ's righteousness, and your feet," that's the foundation area, "your feet, the firm footing, be established with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Preparation, always ready to preach it, always determined to preach it, to know nothing but Christ in Him crucified, always ready to take it to others. The gospel of peace with God and peace with one another. Verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith." Faith shields us against false doctrine. Faith shields us against the attacks of Satan. Faith shields us against the attacks of this world. "And the wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation." The helmet of salvation is Christ. "And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now, with all of this, praying always. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. This praying is communication with the Commander-in-Chief. We talk about the armor of the believer, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the loins girt about with truth, the shield of faith, the sword, the Word of God. But using it, we've got to remain in communication with Him who is our Commander-in-Chief. And that's prayer. That's the vital part of the believer's armor. And then prayer not only is a part of the believer's armor, mentioned along with faith, righteousness, the Word of God, the gospel, truth. But prayer has great power with God for obtaining blessings and removing evil things. While we're over here in the latter part of the New Testament, turn to the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 5. Prayer has great power with God. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Turn to James 4. James 4, verse 2. You lust and have not. You kill and desire to have. Cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet you have not, because you ask not. And our Lord in the scripture I read a moment ago said, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Many times I have gone into the pulpit and not had liberty. And I've questioned why I did not have liberty. And then I got to thinking, well, I didn't ask for it. I didn't spend time before I went into the pulpit asking God for liberty, asking God for wisdom, asking God for the direction of His Spirit. That's what He's saying there. You desire and you have not because you ask not. And then prayer is the breath of a regenerate soul. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 9. John Bunyan said this, prayer is the breath of a regenerate soul. As soon as a child is born, it cries. As soon as a sinner is regenerated, he prays. You may as well talk about a natural man living without breath as a spiritual man living without prayer. Acts 9, verse 10, listen. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I'm here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one named Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. Saul had just been regenerated. He'd just been awakened. He'd just met with the Lord on the road to Damascus. He had been brought down in humility and blindness, and what's the first thing he did? He prayed. He prayed. Prayer is the speech of the soul to God. God speaks to us through His Word, through His servants, through His providence. We speak to God through prayer. I'll show you an example of this. Turn to 2 Samuel 7. Now I want you to turn over to this passage of Scripture. It's important that you do. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Prayer is the speech of the soul to God. God speaks to us through His Word, through His servants, through His providence. We speak to God through prayer. Now listen to this. 2 Samuel 7, God speaks to David. Verse 4. It came to pass that night that the word of the Lord came unto Nathan, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus saith the Lord, shalt thou build me an house for me to dwell in? Whereas I have not dwelt in any house since the time that I brought up the children of Israel out of Egypt, even to this day, but have walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. Now, God's speaking to David through His servant. Go tell my servant David this. Now then, look at verse 18 of the same chapter. Verse 17. According to all these words and according to all this vision, so did Nathan speak to David. It's God speaking to David through Nathan. Now look at the next verse. Then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, who am I, O Lord God? What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? And this was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? We'll stop there for the moment. All right, that is man speaking to God. Through the word and through his servants, he speaks to us. Through prayer, we speak to him. Now, we can learn something about prayer by studying the prayers recorded in God's word. Now, these things I have given you to lay a foundation for this subject of prayer. Prayer is the believer's armor. It's as vital a part of the armor as the other parts listed. Faith, sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, the gospel, the truth, the righteousness of Christ, praying. And prayer has great power with God for the obtaining of our needs according to His will and the removal of evil things. You have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. And prayer is the breath of a regenerate soul. Let us not call ourselves children of God if we don't pray. Let us not call ourselves regenerated people if we don't pray. Prayer is the speech of the soul to God. We don't even communicate with God unless we pray. God speaks to us through His Word. But His Word may not come to us in precious promises, but in condemning sentences of judgment. God's going to speak to every man, but every man's not going to speak to God. Only those who pray. And then, now let's go to this. And I want you to turn to Genesis 32. And I spent some time yesterday and today looking at these prayers. Now, I'm saying this. We can learn something about how to pray by reading the prayers and studying the prayers recorded in God's Word. There are some prayers. Now, prayer doesn't have to be long. The prayer the Lord taught the disciples, "Our Father which art in heaven," can be prayed in a matter of seconds. It's not how long we talk. It's the sincerity and the spirituality of the prayer. Now, let's look at Genesis 32. We have Jacob praying. Here's Jacob praying to the Lord. And let's see if we can learn something about prayer by reading these prayers. Genesis 32, verse 9. "And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saith unto me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan." That's all I had when I went over Jordan, and now I'm become two bands. "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. I fear him, lest he'll come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidest, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for multitude." That's it. That's the prayer of Jacob. Now let's look at the prayer of Moses, Exodus 32. Exodus 32. Let's see if we can learn something about the subject of prayer by reading the prayers that God blessed, the prayers which God heard, the prayers of men that we know knew the Lord. In Exodus 32, verse 11, Exodus 32, 11, "And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why doth thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, For mischief did he bring them out, to slay them in the mountains, to consume them with the face of the day, earth. Turn from thy fierce wrath and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and sayest unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people." That's a brief prayer, but oh, the power of it. Now let's see, look at David's prayer again. I just read a part of it a moment ago, but I want to read some more of this prayer. He had just become king of Israel. He wanted to build God a house. God turned him down, told him Solomon would build a house. David is here at the very height of his new glory. And I want you to read this prayer with me. 2 Samuel 7, verse 18. 2 Samuel 7, 18. "Then went King David in and sat before the Lord. And he said, Who am I, Lord, O Lord God? What is my house that thou hast brought me hitherto? This was yet a small thing in thy sight, O Lord God. But thou hast spoken also of thy servant's house for a great while to come. And is this the manner of man, O Lord God? And what can David say more than to thee? For thou, Lord God, knowest thy servant. For thy word's sake and according to thine own heart hast thou done all these great things to make thy servant know them. Wherefore thou art great, O Lord God, for there's none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we've heard with our ears. And what one nation in the earth is like thy people, even like Israel, whom God went to redeem for a people to himself, and to make him a name, and to do for you great things and terrible, for thy land, before thy people, which thou redeemest to thee from Egypt, from the nations and from their gods. For thou hast confirmed to thyself thy people Israel to be a people unto thee forever, and thou, Lord, art become their God. And now, O Lord God, the word that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house, establish it forever, and do as thou hast said, and let thy name be magnified forever, saying, The Lord of hosts is the God over Israel, and let the house of thy servant David be established before thee. For thou, O Lord of hosts, God of Israel, hast revealed to thy servant, saying, I will build thee an house. Therefore hath thy servant found in his heart to pray this prayer unto thee. And now, O Lord God, thou art that God, and thy words be true, and thou hast promised this goodness unto thy servant. Therefore now let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may continue forever before thee. For thou, O Lord God, hast spoken it, and with thy blessing let the house of thy servant be blessed forever. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. I want to show you a prayer here. I'm not going to read it. This one is perhaps the longest prayer in the Bible. It's only a few minutes long, 1 Kings 8, but I want you to mark it so you can come back to it later and read it in your private devotions. It's Solomon's prayer at the dedication of the temple, which he finally built to God's glory. But let's read just the first few verses. 1 Kings 8, 22. Now it goes from verse 23 to verse 53. But here in verse 22, And Solomon stood before the altar of the Lord in the presence of all the congregation of Israel, and spread forth his hand toward heaven, and he said, Lord God of Israel, there's no God like thee in heaven above or on earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart, who has kept with thy servant David my father that thou promisest him. Thou spakest also with thy mouth and hast fulfilled it with thine hand as it is this day. Therefore now, O Lord God of Israel, keep with thy servant David my father that thou promised him, saying, There shall not fail thee a man in my sight to sit on the throne of Israel, so that thy children take heed to their way, that they walk before thee as thou hast walked before me. Well, I'll let you read that later. But now turn to 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18. This is Elijah's prayer. 1 Kings 18. Now, this is one of the most significant prayers in the Bible. This makes me just gasp every time I read it. I think this is the greatest prayer of the Old Testament. It's the briefest, one of the briefest. And yet, you talk about what happened. This is when Elijah was on Mount Carmel with all of the false prophets of Baal, 450, I believe, of them, one Elijah. They were trying to prove that Baal was God, and Elijah was standing there watching them go through all their contortions and traditions and trying to prove Baal was God, but Baal didn't answer. And then Elijah stepped forth, and he soaked the altar and the wood and the sacrifice and everything with water several times. And then he prayed this prayer. Now I want you to look at it. 1 Kings 18:36. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said. Now this is a 63-word prayer. I believe that's all it is. But listen. Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell. That was it. Then the fire of the Lord fell. You talk about a prayer. We're not heard for our much speaking. We're not heard for our rhetoric, oratorical ability. We're not heard for our mournful voices. We were heard for something else. We could find out what it is. This man was heard. You mark that prayer in your Bible. This 63-word prayer, and the fire of God fell. Simple, powerful. And then mark down these prayers. Go to 2 Kings 19. Here's another one. This is the prayer of Hezekiah. 2 Kings 19:15. Let's read this one, Hezekiah's prayer. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord, 2 Kings 19:15. He said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which hath sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were no gods, but the work of men's hand, wood and stone. Therefore they have destroyed them. Now therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. That's it. Then is another prayer I would call your attention to is John 17, the Lord's priestly prayer. But prayer, out of all of this, prayer is an address to God from a believing heart. In sincerity, through the name of Christ, Christ being the mediator, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, by the assistance of the Holy Spirit, in faith, in the sincerity of our souls, for the things which we need that are consistent with God's will, and all for His glory. Now, there are different ways to pray according to the Word of God. First of all, there is mental prayer, or prayer in the heart where no words are spoken. This is prayer. Example, 1 Samuel 1. Let's turn over there. 1 Samuel 1, verse 12. Here's an example of mental prayer, or prayer without speaking. Prayer without speaking. Where no words are spoken. 1 Samuel 1, verse 12. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth, or he looked at her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I've poured out my soul before the Lord. You can pray without speaking. Hannah did. And then there's what we call vocal prayer or audible prayer. Turn to Psalms 3. David talks about that here in Psalms chapter 3. There is audible prayer. Psalms, the 3rd chapter, verse 4. Psalms 3, verse 4. I cried unto the Lord with my voice. He heard me out of his holy hill, Selah. Look across at Psalms 5, verse 1. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice Shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord? In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and I will look up. This is audible prayer, and it's prayer. And then there's closet prayer, when a person is alone. The Lord Jesus said, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. The Lord which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Then it said, our Lord went up into the mountain when he was alone, sent his disciples away, he prayed. And then there's public prayer. Now let's look at this, Matthew 18. There's prayer where more than one, where several people are joined together. Public prayer. Not all of them praying at once. But there is public prayer. Matthew 18, verse 19. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three or more, just gives a number here, more than one, two or three or more than one, are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Here are several people that have met together in his name, and they agree on this, that they want his presence, they want his message, they want his blessings. He said, I'll be with them. And they ask for it. They ask for it. Now, Acts chapter 1, we're still talking about public prayer now. Acts, the first chapter. Verse 12 through 14. Here are all the disciples. Verse 12, Acts 1, then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And then he names all of them, Peter and James and John. Verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with Mary, not praying to her, praying with her and with his brethren. Here is the men and the women, the apostles, Mary and his brethren, and all the rest of them who have met together in one accord in prayer. Now, 1 Corinthians 14. Now, here is where we get calling on someone to lead us in prayer. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, Paul's dealing here with the subject of unknown tongues, people speaking in the congregation in other languages. He says in verse 15 of 1 Corinthians 14, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. That is, that I understand what I'm saying, and you understand what I'm saying. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thou giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what you say? If I'm standing up praying in another language, how's a man down here going to say amen to what I'm giving thanks for if he can't understand what I'm saying? So when we stand to pray publicly, in language that everybody can understand, with the Spirit, but with the understanding, enabling people to say amen to the giving of thanks. Public prayer. There's family prayer. Turn to Jeremiah 10. Jeremiah 10. I'm giving you the different ways to pray. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 25. Jeremiah 10, 25. Pour out thy fury upon the heathen that know thee not, and upon the families that call not on thy name. For they have eaten up Jacob, and devoured him, and consumed him, and made his habitation desolate. Families that call not on thy name. Now, there are the different ways that we pray. Mental prayer, which I can pray even in a crowded room, on a busy street, about my work. I don't have to be saying words to pray. Then there is vocal, audible prayer. David said, in the morning, my voice will be heard calling on God. Then there's closet prayer when we're alone in secret praying to the Father. Then there's public prayer where some of us have met together and we agree on a thing, we want God's presence, so we ask for it. Let's call on somebody to pray in the congregation. The rest of us listen and say amen to what the person is saying, amen to the giving of thanks, amen to the seeking of God's presence. All right, the object of prayer now, secondly. I want you to listen to this. The object of prayer. Turn to Psalm 69. Psalm 69. God only. Never for any reason to be offered to an apostle, to a living or a dead creature, or to any part of nature, nor the sun, nor the moon, nor the stars, or to any kind of spirit. I'm not talking about the Holy Spirit now, but to God only. He is the only object of prayer. He is the object of prayer and the one to whom prayer is directed, only to God. Psalm 69, listen to this, verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord. Unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercies, hear me in the truth of thy salvation. Turn back to Psalms 5. Psalms, the fifth chapter, verse 3. I read it a moment ago, but let's look at it again. Psalms 5, 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer to thee, only to God. Never to an angel, to Mary, to a living or dead creature, to an apostle, to a saint, or to a spirit, or to any part of nature is prayer ever to be directed, but to God only. Now, prayer may be directed to the Son of God. You remember in Revelation, John wrote, even so come, Lord Jesus. It can be directed to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, we know not the things for which we should pray, except the Holy Spirit should ask us, we should to direct us. When Stephen was stoned, he died crying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Nothing wrong with a person directing his prayer to the Son or to the Spirit, but prayer is to be addressed chiefly to the Father. Why? Two reasons. Number one, because of the priority of order he has in the deity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The order of priority which he has in the deity. And secondly, the Father bears no office in the matter of prayer. Now the Son is the mediator. Christ is the mediator. He said, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will give it to you. And the Holy Spirit is the author of prayer. We pray in the Spirit. We pray being taught the things for which we should pray by the Spirit. So the Son has an office work in prayer, the mediator, and the Spirit has an office work in prayer, the author of it. The Father has no office work in prayer. He's the one to whom we direct our prayer. Now, my third point, quickly. We've looked at the different ways of prayer. We've looked at the object of prayer. Now, this is usually a mistake, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's usually a mistake. And that is to talk about the parts of prayer. And here's the reason I think sometimes it's a mistake when we're dealing with the subject of prayer to bring it down to the parts of prayer. When a man tries to dissect prayer, to examine prayer, to explain its parts, he usually winds up making it a mechanical process rather than a bubbling of the heart to God. And I get a little bit fearful, but turn to Philippians 4, and Paul, I'm not stretching a point here, but Paul did it here in this verse, Philippians 4, verse 6. Listen to it. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. There, he's talking about three parts of prayer: supplication, thanksgiving, and petitions, your requests. So he deals with the parts of prayer. But
Let me just give them to you briefly. First of all, in most of these prayers, which I read in the Old Testament, there's a celebration of God's divine attributes. For example, the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, when you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's a celebration of the divine attributes, the divine person, the divine power, the divine perfections, who he is. For example, listen to this. Don't turn to this. Let me just turn over here in 1 Kings 18. Listen to this prayer here, 18 verse 36. And at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah said, O Lord God, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, God of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God. That's a celebration of the divine attributes, the divine power and perfection. That's the way his prayer started off. That's the way Hezekiah started off his prayer, too. He started off talking about who God is, God's glory and God's power. Hallowed be his name. Listen to this. Hezekiah prayed and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art God, even thou alone, of all the kingdoms of earth. Thou hast made the heaven and the earth. All right, then secondly, in prayer there's the celebration of divine attributes and power. And then secondly, in prayer, that is an acknowledgement of our own unworthiness. Now, when Jacob started his prayer off, listen to the way he started it. In Genesis 32, he said this, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, which said to me, Return unto thy country and to thy kindred, I am not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth that you showed to me. I'm not worthy. In Psalms 32, verse 5, listen to David here, and we haven't read this. You might turn over here. Psalms 32, verse 5. Listen to what David says here. He's speaking to the Lord God. I acknowledge my sin and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. When the Lord taught the disciples to pray, he said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. In prayer, there's praise and thanksgiving. In prayer, there's a petition for good things. Give us this day our daily bread. Deliver us from evil. Here's a petition I want you to see here. Proverbs 30. I'd like to learn to pray like this. Listen to Proverbs 30. Here's Solomon praying. Proverbs 30. Two things have I required of thee. Two things. Deny me them not before I die. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, Who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. Isn't that beautiful? I think it's one of the most beautiful prayers I've ever read. And then in closing our prayers, doxologies are in order. What have we done so far? All right. In dissecting prayer, and God help us for making it mechanical, or trying to put these things in their proper order. Just forget the order. But there is a celebration in these prayers of the divine attributes. No question about it. To whom am I speaking? When you address your father and mother, you walk up and say, Father or Dad or Mother, I have a request. You don't just walk up and say, Move the table. There's an address. When you write a letter, my dear Mr. Huddle, or my dear Mr. Payne, there's a salutation, there's an address. When you pray, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, it'll spontaneously come. You won't have to stop and think, now, when I pray, I'm going to have to acknowledge who God is. If you're aware of who you are and who He is, it'll come out. If there's respect there, if there's love for a mother, you'll address her properly. If there's love for a wife, my dear wife, you'll address her properly. If you hate her, it'll show up in the way you address her, the way you talk to him or to her. But if you know who God is, it'll come out. And then, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies and acknowledgement of sin. That'll automatically, when you feel, now, when you go into the president of your company, Mr. Jones, may I have a moment of your time? I know you're busy, and I appreciate you letting me come in and talk to you. I'm just a peon, work down here on the assembly line, but I appreciate you letting me talk to you for a few minutes. I'm not worthy to be in here. I'm not one of the leaders and so forth. You'll find a way to address God that way. And in prayer, there's praise. I thank you, Lord, for what you've done. It's an acknowledgement of His hand and His mercy in our life. I appreciate what you've done. Old Jacob was praying. He said, Lord, God of Israel, I'm not worthy to be before you. And I left home and went across this Jordan. I didn't have anything but a stick in my hand. And here I am coming back, and I've got two complete families. And I'm sure much obliged to you. It'll come out. You'll be able to praise Him and thank Him. Prayer is not just asking and receiving. I think a person can pray and never ask God for anything. Yes, sir. Some of the best praying in this Bible is not asking for anything, just praising the Lord. And then a petition. If you've got a burden on your heart, you won't have to say, now it's time to do this. Now it's time to ask God for what I want. It'll come that way. But last of all, doxologies. Turn to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6 again. And let's look at this. In Matthew, the 6th chapter. All right, here in verse 13. We're closing this prayer where the Lord taught His disciples to pray, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here's the doxology. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, the glory belongs to you. Whatever you do, it's your glory and your honor. You alone are worthy. Turn to Ephesians 3. Here's a doxology. The close of a prayer. Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, verse 21. Verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Last of all, and I close, the manner in which prayer is to be offered. So this thing of praying, the mechanics of prayer, or dissecting prayer, I think we can do that without becoming mechanical. The manner in which prayer is to be offered. Number one, in the Spirit. The book of Jude says, praying in the Spirit. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, pray with the understanding, but pray with the Spirit. Secondly, prayer is to be offered with intelligence. Now, I want you to read this. Turn to Ecclesiastes 5. Ecclesiastes 5. Now, let me say this without being vulgar and without being misunderstood and critical. I hear, and I'm not being critical now. I hope that I'm not, but I want to learn to approach God. I don't want to just call everything religion. It's going by that name. But I hear these people on the radio praying, and they're screaming and can't breathe, and everybody's praying at once, and it's just a lot of blabber and blubber and nothingness, and I'm just going to be dogmatic and say it's not praying. No prayer to it. Now, you listen to this, in Ecclesiastes 5. Keep your foot when you go to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. What's the sacrifice of fools? It's the opposite of being ready to hear. It's doing all the popping off in God's presence. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Brother, lead us in prayer. The man who calls on you to pray is laying a tremendous burden on your shoulders. He's asking you to utter something before the Lord. He's asking you to be the person to take the congregation of people into the presence of the King and to offer the petitions and the sacrifice of praise for all these people. Be not hasty to utter anything before God. God is in the heavens. Thou art upon the earth. Let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of words. I was listening to a preacher the other day on the radio. And I hear people doing this all the time. Now, we're just so glad you tuned in this morning. We want the Lord to bless the program, and we'd sure like to hear from you. Now, you folks write to us, and be sure and send us a little offering so we can stay on there. Jesus, bless this program now, and save people for Christ's sake. Now, turn in your Bibles to Ecclesiastes 7. There ain't no praying to that. Now, that's just not praying. That's a fool's voice known by the multitude of words. And this thing of mechanical prayer, now we've talked about this before, but I'd rather not pray at all than to sin before God and take His name in vain, playing like I'm being religious and praying for somebody else's benefit. Now, I haven't solved all the problems. I don't even know the questions, let alone the answers, but I do know that this thing of, when we're speaking to men, it's one, let the potsherds of the earth strive with the potsherds of the earth. But when we go to address, and I don't even know which direction to look to do, but when we go to address God, now we better get down to business, and we better be sincere, and we better not be doing it for show. We better not be doing it in formality. We better not be doing it as a ritual. We better not be doing it because it's supposed to be done. We better not be doing it because it's time on the program to pray. We better be doing it because we are calling on God, or we better leave it off. Now, they just didn't run around praying through this Bible every time somebody dropped a handkerchief. But you notice when these men prayed, they had something to say. They prayed with the Spirit, but they prayed with the understanding. They had something to say. And then prayer had better be offered in faith. He said, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. James 1:6, let him ask in faith, not wavering. And then it better be in sincerity. So let's turn to Psalm 17. Psalm 17. I'm encouraging prayer, believe me. Brother man, you talk like you're discouraging. I'm not. I'm discouraging formality. I'm discouraging this religiosity and this feigned piety. And I want us to call on God. I want us to be so burdened and so broken and so desperate that we're driven into the presence of the King. And when we get there, there's just the King and I. Psalm 17:1. Hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. My prayer doesn't come from feigned lip, deceit, insincerity. It's sincere. Now here's the last word. I've preached too long, but Acts 21:14. I'm going to close with this. Acts 21:14. When it's all said and done, we're praying in the Spirit. We trust. We're praying with the understanding. It's all right if somebody calls on you to pray. It's all right to just pause, just wait, to get in communication with God. Pray mental prayer first before you ever open your mouth. Audibly, just say, Lord, in your heart, give me the spirit of prayer. Let me forget those about me. Let me talk with you. Just wait on. Wait a minute. And then pray. And it doesn't have to be. It's like Brother Barnard one time was. Hate to tell this. He's gone, bless his heart. He's out here defending himself. But he was in a minister's home. A minister friend of mine holding a meeting for him. And the things hadn't gone just right, evidently. He's tired and weary. And they had everybody sit down, you know. And the preacher had the great Dr. Barnard in his home. Never had been with Rolf. Never had been there before. And Rolf sitting there, you know. And the preacher said, now Brother Barnard will thank the Lord for the food. Barnard said, thank you, Lord, for the food. Amen. Preacher said he thought he was going to hear a great prayer, you know, but he did what he told him to do. He thanked the Lord for the food. If that's all you can do, do it, but don't do anything else unless you can do it in sincerity. Pray with the understanding. That's understanding. Thank you, Lord, for the food. Pray in faith. Now watch, after it's all over, Acts 21:14. Acts 21:14. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased pleading with him, arguing with him, saying, the will of the Lord be done. And that's about what it is. That's about what prayer is right there. Just underscore that words, those words, the will of the Lord be done. Prayer has got something to do with the will of God. The will of God be done. The will of God be done. Our Father, we do long, desperately, and sincerely to have a spirit of prayer. Oh, that you would burden the heart of this thy servant to pray, call upon thee. Burden the hearts of the elders and deacons of this church, not just publicly, not just when we come together in special meetings, but at work, at home, in the privacy of their own closets, to pray for the pastor, pray for each other, pray for thy spirit, pray for thy blessings upon the gospel preached here, pray for the missionary. Burden our hearts to pray more every day, that we might call upon thee, just to praise thy name, O Lord, for thou art worthy to be praised. And, O Lord, teach us the things for which we should pray. Reveal thy will to us. We want thy will to be done. Our Father, if we know our hearts, and if pray that thou would reveal our hearts to us and make them genuine, but we want thy will to be done here, right here in this congregation, in this city, in this church, in its ministry, whatever you would have us to do. We earnestly ask for thy will to be revealed to us. And whatever it is, we bow to thy will. Teach us to pray. And give us the spirit of prayer. Give us a burden to pray. Through Christ our Lord, we ask it. Amen.